Normally, after a couple songs, the worship leader does a little thing or says something. And this morning, I wanted to read the Christmas story, but Doug already had it in the order of service for the scripture reading. So I said, Doug, can I just hijack that and do that for mine? So we're moving the scripture reading up. And the reason why I wanted to read it is because I read this with my class last week. And the way I did the Christmas story this year, I did it a little bit differently. I said to the kids, I'm like, take out a piece of paper, and I'm going to read the Christmas story, and I might change the words a little bit, which I might do again today. And all I want you to do is draw. You can write words. You can make a picture. You can make symbols. I just want you to draw. I read the story, and my classroom was silent. It was awesome. And then I played Glory in the Highest, which we sang yesterday morning. And then I sat back down and I read it again. And the kids just drew and drew. And it reminded me again that God's word is alive. No matter how many times we read this Christmas story, that it is alive. So before we read it, I'd like to pray with you that God will open our hearts again to receive his word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for sending your son because you loved us. We thank you so much that we get to celebrate that today. And as we read the story again, open our hearts so that we can receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the words will be up there, but I might change it as I go. So just give me some creative freedom, please. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So, of course, Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Meanwhile, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. All of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, right now, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find that baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." All of a sudden, a huge, massive company of the heavenly host appeared with that angel, and they were all praising God, and they were all saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests."
I'd like you to pause for a moment and to go back into her reading from Luke 2. To the pictures that maybe you began to draw in your mind of the Christmas story. As the Christmas story begins, "Now it came about in those days." What do you picture the story being like? What do you sense is going on in the Christmas story? Because I want us to have those pictures in our mind as we work our way through the text this morning. Because it's so serene. And it's so beautiful. It's so utterly simple that it almost seems too good to be true. But I don't know about you. Every year, I get to study the Christmas story and present it. There's a new sense of wonder and awe and anticipation of what's really going on in the text. And so I want you to work through those pictures in your mind this morning. Because can you picture it? A mangy manger. A teenage girl who says she's a virgin and the baby born of her is of the Holy Spirit. To a guy who's got to wrap his mind around the fact that the baby's not his, but he's going to do what's right and true and noble, and he's going to stick with her. Anything in Jewish culture would have said, this is not how the Messiah would be born. Jewish culture would have us have Jesus be born in a palace, to have royalty and the rich and the famous around the baby. Certainly not shepherds. Surely not stinky animals. Surely this wouldn't be his bed. The only way to look at the Christmas story is to believe that which the scripture says to be true. Let me tell you why. Bethlehem, historically, is already mentioned 11 times from the time you get through the prophets to the book of Nehemiah. The early Egyptian writers begin to tell of the birthplace of Christ already into the 14th century. The place where Christ was born was the perfect place. Things had now changed. 100 years of war have just come to an end, all because Caesar Augustus came to the throne. He was the first person to wear the purple robe and to wear the crown. Because of Caesar Augustus, there now was widespread peace and prosperity. People could now travel. People could now worship. The Gentiles, they were polytheists. They had many gods, as did the Greeks, who not only had gods, but philosophy. There were the Romans. But the Jews, I mean, the everyday Jew, they weren't looking for the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was to be born. Simeon himself was looking for the consolation of Israel. The Messiah who would suffer. There was the absence. There was a longing within them, but an idea of a priest and a prophet and a king being born like this was too much for them to comprehend. Surely, the hope of the world wouldn't be born in the mundane. But it's here that our picture needs to begin, of utter simplicity, filled with utter significance. What would it do? Have you ever wondered about that? What it would take for the Jewish people, the first hearers? That's where you need to understand Christmas this morning. Those to whom Dr. Luke is writing, to catch the significance of what's going on there. I mean, I love the words. There was Mary, who was pledged to be married to a guy named Joseph. And an angel comes to both of them and to tell them that a child would be born and he would be the Messiah. Have you ever wondered what it was like for Joseph? I mean, the woman that he was betrothed to was having a child. And it was filled of the Holy Spirit. Joseph not only does the right thing and he stays with her. He was married in the legal sense, but not in the fullest sense. Because marriage in this time was fully made legal when they consummated their marriage. And he waited. He waited till the baby was born. Even this did not get the attention of the people. I mean, they should have gotten it, shouldn't they? They had heard of the prophets that there would be a great warrior who would defeat the enemy. There would be a shepherd. There would be a counselor. There would be Emmanuel, God with us. I think of that family in the video at the beginning of the service. Even that simple announcement didn't fully get their attention. Hear what the prophet says. Isaiah 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. They will beat their swords and their plowshares, and their spears into pruning hook. Nation will no longer take up sword against the nation, nor will they train for war. Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Isaiah 35. Then the eyes will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, the mute will shout forth with joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground will bubble with springs. Where the jackals once were will be filled with grass and reed and papyrus will grow. The glory of Lebanon will come to you. I will glorify. And then from Isaiah 60. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and they will eat fruit. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on the holy mountain, says the Lord. Can you picture the prophecy? There's going to be no more hunger. There's going to be prosperity for all. God's people will be free. The oppressed would be set free. The blind will see. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. Because of the Messiah, everything is going to be made right for hundreds of years. The Jewish people had heard about this. And then Luke opens our text. And now the time came. But they weren't ready. Are we ready as we enter into Christmas? I mean, we can celebrate Christmas and still miss it. I mean, I suspect for most of us, we are having a good time with Christmas. I don't know what your family is like, but I had all of my wife's family over yesterday, and we ate from the moment they came till almost the moment they left. It was awesome. And there were presents, and there was conversation. And now today, my parents are over, and my brother and sister-in-law are over, and we will go home, and we'll have coffee and goodies, and then there'll be snacks, And then there'll be a roast beef dinner. And then dessert, creme caramel, three kinds of ice cream, cannolis, and cookies, and presents. And tomorrow, we repeat the same thing all over again. Is your Christmas like that? Presents, food, travel. And we could say as a family, you know what? We've celebrated Christmas, but we've really missed Christmas. Picture that Luke 2 reading for a moment. Pause, if not only to catch your breath for a moment. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. You need to picture this for a moment. How would you draw it? The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Can you picture what that was like for Mary between 14 and 16 years of age? To have an angel come to you and say, "You're going to have a baby. And he's going to be the deliverer of the world." And here's what she says. "May it be to me as you have said." Did you catch what happened? God invited Mary into his story. God invited Mary to be part of the greatest story ever told to the world. Or when the angel comes to Joseph and says, "The one to you you are betrothed is going to have a child. You are to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Can you picture it? A young man waiting to be married is going to father the Son of the Most High. Joseph is invited into the story of God. And then the best part of all, guess who gets to come to the manger first? Despised, looked down, below average people called shepherds, to come in to tell the story. And you want to know why the shepherds? Because the shepherds, for the first time in their lives, have felt significant, that they mattered, that they were important. And they enter into the story of God, and what happens? They tell anyone who will listen. And then the wise men, some 2 to 3 years later, they're invited into the story of God. And they go and tell everyone as well. You see, this story, this real, true, living, vibrant story, is God's invitation for you to come and do life with him. It's about God meeting you. God meeting you in your busyness. God meeting you in your struggle and your frustration. It's about God meeting you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's about God saying, "I want to be a part of your life." I wonder what that first moment was like when the angels began to show up. Do you ever wonder why the angels didn't go to a palace? Why they didn't go to Caesar Augustus? Why they didn't go to Herod? Why they didn't go to Quirinius? Why didn't they go to the religious leaders into the temple? Why they went to the everyday person to tell them the story of God? Because they knew they wouldn't be able to keep quiet. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said. And here's what she does. Can you picture getting that news that you're going to have a baby? It's going to be the Messiah. She sings. Would that be the first thing you would do? Probably wouldn't be me if I was Joseph. But she said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Oh yeah, and we forgot about Zechariah. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to redeem his people. And then there's the angels. We can't forget about them. They sing. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those whose favor rest. Oh yeah, we're not done yet. There's Simeon. He couldn't keep quiet and he sang. Oh yeah, there's Anna. Anna heard the story and she began to sing. I think it's important for us to hear this passage this morning, because I can't blame the Israelites or the Jews. They were waiting for so long and they wondered if the Messiah would really come. But I think for us, we get so busy. Our lives are so harried and frantic and stress-filled, even at Christmas, as we're running from one place to another, that we forget to wonder. We forget to be expectant. We forget to pause in the moment. Here's that key verse from a few translations. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. All who heard were astonished at what the shepherds had revealed. All who heard it were astounded at what had been told to them. Everybody was surprised to hear the story the shepherds had told. And all who heard it wondered at the things which had been revealed. Mary got the real story of Christmas. So did Joseph. So did Simeon. So did Anna. So did Zechariah. So did the angels. This morning, can we pause for a moment in that wonder, in that splendor of the pictures that we have drawn in our mind, to hear the story of God entered into humanity? Because he changed the story. Maybe you've heard of a guy named Richard Branson. Richard Branson is the founder of Virgin Airlines and a number of other things. A number of years ago, he was traveling to the Caribbean, and they canceled his flight on the way home. He had two responses. One, he could have got angry and frustrated, or two, he could do something about it. Now, he realized that if he didn't get back, he was probably going to lose a big business deal. His company and his future would have been in jeopardy. So he did what any entrepreneur would do. He went over to the chartered section of the airport, and he figured out how much it was going to cost to get an airplane to get him home to his meeting. And so what he did after that is he booked it. He got a whiteboard from somebody, and he made a sign. Tickets home, $39. He sold every seat on the plane and enough to cover his costs. 10 years later, his airline was started. Now, I tell you the story is because he wrote an alternative story to his life. But even more importantly than that, I tell you that illustration because God has written alternative story for each and every one of us. A story that ushers you this morning into an encounter with the living God, who simply says, will you enter into a story with me? Because it'll change your life. You'll never be the same. And I want to meet you this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, may this story, from Luke 2 never fall on deaf ears. May it fall on our ears even this morning in a fresh and in a new way. As we think about the significance of the place of Bethlehem, to the historical moment that you put into place that Augustus could become the leader, so that the story could continue and be fulfilled. We thank you for Mary and for Joseph and for their faith and their obedience. We thank you for the shepherds, for the wise men who would not only come and worship and bow down, but would be so overwhelmed with the truth of the story that they not only met you, but they told everyone who would listen. And you changed their lives forever. And so, Lord, this morning, as we come this morning, maybe hearing the Christmas story for the first time, maybe we've heard this Christmas story for 60 or 70 years. May it fall fresh on us this morning in a new way. And in our parties, in our travel, in our opening of gifts, in our conversations, that we'd be able to step aside from the busyness of our holidays to encounter you. And Lord, we pray that you'd come and you would refresh us, and that we would meet you in a new and a real way. That the story of Emmanuel, God with us, would ring true. In your name we pray. Amen.